I just want to say the goal of Hope Biblical Counseling Center is to give people hope in their lives. That's one thing people need today, it's hope. And God wants us to have hope, and we're going to see that in a minute. But our desire is to encourage people to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God and be a spirit-controlled person, to move from a doer mentality, performance-based life, to a spirit-controlled life. Now, the ministry of Hope Biblical Counseling Center is worldwide, and you know, we have thousands of people on our email list, and you know, we have a weekly email that goes out with biblical counseling articles, and it's read by thousands of pastors and thousands of people around the world. And so we're thankful for what God has allowed us to be able to do with that. And the counseling program is a 13-week program, and we skillfully use the Bible to help people make biblical long-term change. And it is possible to do. You just saw it on the video. But The website, we have a website, has a tremendous amount of material up there. It has a wealth of information, more than 300 audio messages up on different counseling issues. Again, I mentioned the weekly email that goes out. You can also, we have a YouTube channel, and it's been up about a year, but there's currently 66 videos up there on different subjects that you can go. If you subscribe to it, you'll get a notification when a new video comes up. It's been a great help to many people around the world. And then I just want you to understand this. I'll mention this to you. Our material has been translated into 31 different languages all around the world. And any missionary that asks for our help gets it for free. And so many, in 31 different languages, our missionaries have taken our material, translated it, and are using it around the world to help people. And so we praise God for that. Amen? Yeah, and so we're wanting to be involved in missions. We've always, you know, we served as missionaries, as church planters here in the United States, planting 5 different churches. And like I mentioned yesterday, all 5 of them are going. All 5 of them have their own buildings paid for. We paid for 3 of them before we left. And all of them have their own pastors, so we praise God for that. And so moving forward and doing well, and we're thankful for that. So, what Hope Biblical Counseling Center is a place for hope, giving people hope. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're talking about family in this conference. But one of the things that we, Kim and I, see all the time. It's interesting, you know, within the sphere of your local church, you see the people that are around you, okay? And you believe maybe that they're typical of others. Quite frankly, we hear from the world. And so there's a lot of things that we hear about in churches that are amazing to me, honestly, in a connotation that it's not good. Okay? And so there's a lot out there. And so we try to deal with the fact that we're trying to give people hope. Now, watch what the Bible says here. And Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. Now, when anybody comes into the counseling program, and again, we're dealing with families now, okay? And I guarantee you this, when a husband and a wife come into our counseling program, they are not friends, okay? They are flat not friends. And so, you know, that got taken away quite a while ago. And the reason why people come to us is because they are losing hope, or they've lost hope. Okay? Now, so let's look at this. Then we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 6. In Romans chapter 15, And verse 4, and these are the passages that brought us to the point of doing biblical counseling. Let's start with verse 1. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of" who, folks? "The weak, and not to please" who? "Ourselves." It says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good" to what? "Edification," building up, encouraging. And the Bible says in verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." So, Jesus Christ is talking about what he dealt with in helping us. Okay? And now in verse 4, so whenever a couple comes in, they're losing hope, they've lost hope, they don't have a relationship with God, haven't had one for a while. And when we talk about what is your relationship with God's Word, next to nothing, if they have one at all. But quite frankly, you know, and no reflection here, because I'm not going to, you know, and by the way, Pastor hasn't said a word to me about any of you. You know what I mean? So I just want to clarify that going up front. Because I've had people walk by me and say, "How did you know?" Okay, well, the Holy Spirit knows. I don't necessarily know. And the pastor's not told me anything, so I just want to be clear about that. But I want you to, and no reflection here on what I'm going to say right now. Kim and I counsel many pastors and their wives. Okay? They have no place else to go. And many times they really need help in their marriage, their home. And so we have been able to see God do wonderful work within those situations and also marriage in itself with many couples. Now watch carefully what the Bible says here. Hope Biblical Counseling Center and what we do is not psychology. Okay? We're not interested there. Watch what it says. Verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that means before you and I got here, "were written for our" what, folks? Learning. So God wants us to what? Learn. Okay? "That we, through patience and comfort of" the what? Scriptures, "might have hope." Now, I'm a question asker. So you're going to have to help me. Okay? So, if you're in our counseling program, I'm going to look at you, Mark, and I'm going to say, "Now, where's the answer to your life at?" In the Scriptures. So God's Word has the answer for your life. And we skillfully use it to show that to you. So, and the answer here is it's in the Scriptures so that we can have what? What's the verse say? Hope. Now, that's point one. Okay, God wants us to have hope and the answer is in the Scriptures. Look at verse 13. And notice what the Bible says. "Now the God of" what? "Hope." And He is the God of hope. "Fill you with" all what, folks? "Joy and peace." So God wants you, what we found out so far is, God wants you to learn. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have hope. And God wants you to have peace. Now, the people we counsel have none of that. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have hope. So now watch what else he says. In believing. Now, if you really want God to work in your life, you're going to have to believe that He wants you to have those things. Amen? Amen? You're going to have to believe it. That God wants you to have hope, joy, peace, and wants you to learn. In believing. And notice what it says, that ye may abound in what? Hope. Now, I want you to just visualize in your mind for a minute, what do you think abounding means? Pastor says overflowing. Anybody else got an idea? Happy?
More than enough?
Too much? Now, I'll tell you the picture I get. Okay. I grew up in Indiana. Anybody ever been to Indiana? Okay, Pastor? You have? Yes? Cornfields. Flat land. And I always pictured just running across that field, jumping up in the air, you know, like you had no care in the world, abounding. You know? That's my picture. That's my picture of it. That in essence, I want to have that kind of joy in my life. That kind of peace in my life. That kind of hope in my life. Now, but the next thing is extremely important in this verse. And you've got the handout on it. Now he says that ye may abound in hope through the power of who, folks? The Holy Ghost. Okay, so now that changes the playing field. The moment you got saved, and by the way, if you're here today and not saved, if you die today, you're going to go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Now, I'm just telling you straight. You're not going to get out. It's not a place you visit for the weekend. There are no motels. There are no... in essence, you're not going to go for a weekend and get out. You know, it's not a leisurely trip. The Bible says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of your rejection of Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. Hell is a place that people don't get out of. So you need to understand that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He gave Himself for you. And you have an opportunity. And He says, come. Come unto me. You know, and so the real need here is to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Without any doubts on that subject whatsoever. That if you die, you know, in essence, it's the most important decision you're ever going to make in your life. There is no more important decision than that one. Because if you die apart from Jesus Christ, it's for eternity. Someone said, how long is eternity? I said, well, you can go as far back in time as you want to go and put down your peg, and Jesus Christ comes out to meet you. The reality here, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Eternity is a long time. And if you die today, apart from Jesus Christ, you go to hell for all eternity. In our first church, way back, had a 10-year-old boy who came to me after the service and said, I want to get saved. And I led him to the Lord. His name was Brad. And so the following Sunday, Brad followed the Lord in believer's baptism. The following Wednesday night, the family was driving home. It was pouring down, raining. And they just resurfaced the highway. And they had to drive, 10 miles, something like that, home down that highway. A drunk was on the wrong side of the road going 70 miles an hour. My dear friend, this boy's father, saw the guy at the last moment and tried to turn the car. And when he did, he turned it this way, and the guy came right through the side of the car at 70 miles an hour on the wife's side. Some of our church book, I had turned, we were going home, and I at the last minute, Kim and I decided we had to go pick something up, and so we made a turn just prior to that accident taking place, and we went the other way. But many of our church people were following. Some of our church people were trying to get him out of the car, trying to help. Tears, crying, upset. His mother died instantly, holding her Bible. Brad lived 10 days, never regained consciousness, went to be with the Lord. Little 3-year-old girl in the back seat, 300 stitches in her face. Broke her leg, broke her hip, broke her arm. And his dad had his chest crushed. Don't ever take your life that you have tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth. Now, I'm so glad that Brad got saved. I'm glad his mother was saved. But I'm here to tell you, he got saved, then he got baptized, then he went out in eternity. So you don't have tomorrow. You may not have it. And you need to think about that. And make sure that there is no doubt in your mind that if you die today, you go to heaven. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And don't think that you need to take that lightly, or don't think that you'll wait till later. Behold, the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. So think about that. You need to make sure that you know that. And have no doubts in your mind about that. Period. Very important. Now, but now that you're saved, all of us in this room that are saved today, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. Okay? And now you have His power. But you have to understand that there is something that needs to take place here for you to have the Holy Spirit's power. Now, you know, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I have sin in my life, nothing good's going to happen here. And if I'm not willing to deal with my sin, you know, would it have been wonderful when we got saved that God would have taken away our old nature, but He didn't. But He gave us tools to deal with it. And He also gave us the Holy Spirit to come. So the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. But the Holy Spirit wants to help you. He's here to comfort you. He's here to teach you. There's 70 different things. Okay? So now He wants to do all of that, but you can limit Him in your life. Now notice what it says here, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now if I'm going to build a godly family, I got to understand the Holy Spirit's work in my life. And if I don't understand that, my marriage is not going to work. It's not going to work in my children. So my home is going to be a disaster because of the fact that I don't understand what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. Okay, now we've already seen that it all happens because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll look at verse 9 first. It says, "But as is written, I have not heard, or I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Okay, so think about this. There's all kinds of things that God has for you. He wants you to see. He wants you to learn. They're prepared for you. What's the answer? Verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His," what? Spirit, capital S. "For the Spirit," now watch it, "searcheth all things." How many things? The deep things of God. Man, I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. I want Him to show me. I want Him to reveal truth to me. And I want Him to make it real. But if I'm living my life in the power of the flesh, none of that works. It's just doer mentality, performance-based Christianity. I go to church on Sunday because that's what I'm supposed to do. Now I can be mean, carnal, angry, snorting, stomping, yelling, ranting, raving. And yet I go to church on Sunday, so I'm a good Christian. Or I do read my Bible every day. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Be honest with me. How many of you have ever read down a chapter in your Bible and when you got done, you didn't know what you read? Right? Now, for a lot of people, that's more prevalent than what we want to admit and think. And then sometimes some people will say, "Well, you know, I had a good devotional time today." Well, what did you learn? "I don't know. But I had a good devotional time." Baloney. I had a lady that in our church that came by me every Sunday, Pastor. And she'd say, "Oh, Pastor, that was such a great message today. Man, that was good." And so, you know, and she did that every Sunday. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do something here. Let's just find out if that's really real. Okay. So she walks by me and says that. What is your name? Ray. She walks by me and says that, Ray. And so I said, "Okay, that's great." I said, "Can you tell me what I preached on?" She looks at me. She looks back at me again and she says, "I don't know, but it was good." Silliness. Now, turn back to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Now, in our counseling, we teach people how to read and study the Bible with a purpose. Okay? In Proverbs 13:13. Well, let's look at verse 12. Let's look at verse 10 first. All right? In verse 10 it says, now watch, Josh talked about it here, "Only by" what? "Pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." Now watch verse 12. What's the first word in verse 12? Hope. Hope deferred maketh the heart what? Okay, so when people come to us, their hope is deferred, so their heart is what? Sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So their heart is sick. Now watch. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. So when we get somebody up having as many times you got to almost drag them up, but when you get them up having a real intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, and now they're really focused on letting the Holy Spirit teach them, and they're focused on what they're learning, and they're focused on growing, and all of that, it's like a light bulb comes on. It's like, wow. Then the desire cometh. Several years back, we bought a new house. And we decided to do the landscaping work ourselves. Mistake, but we did. And so, and Kim loves pine trees. And so, we had off to one side, we're down at the end of a cul-de-sac and a cornfield on the other side. And, they had a ditch that was going down there. And we planted some pine trees, some small pine trees, right down there by that, and water would run down there all the time, from drainage, and the water would run down there, and boy, those pine trees, man, they go, pow, pow, and just kept going, and I'm like, I'm amazed at how these things are growing. It's kind of like that. Whenever you really have the desire cometh in your life, whenever you really understand that you have to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. And when you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and let Him teach you, when the desire cometh, it's like a tree of life. Got it? It's like, boom! Light bulb comes on. But I want you to look at verse 13 because this is important. Now, how many of you believe Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe that? Okay. And everybody will say, yes, amen, I believe that. In Proverbs 13, Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be what? See that word despiseth there? You know what it means? Doesn't give proper attention to. So if you're sitting here reading your Bible and you get down to the end of the chapter and you don't know what you read, are you giving proper attention to it? And one of the things, if I say this and it's a backward way, all we see today around us is destruction. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. It didn't say might be, didn't say possibly could be, said shall be destroyed. So we teach people to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, submitting themselves to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them so that they're looking at their Bible with a purpose. Now, one of the things we do is God's message to me today, a promise from God, a command to keep, my application, and additional comments. So I want you to teach me today, Lord. I want you to show me. I want you to make it real to my heart. And so as I'm reading down then, I'm looking for God's message to me today. Y'all with me? I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give me God's message for me today. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to pop right out of that passage of Scripture is going to pop right out at you. And when you write that down and you're like, wow. Okay. That's cool. Let's get more here. Amen? Amen? Let's get more here. So I'm looking for a promise. And I write that down. And I'm looking for a command to keep. And I write that down. And then I'm looking for any additional comments. Anything else that just came right off the page at me. And guess what? Think with me now. So Whenever God really speaks to your heart and shows you something that He has for you, I want you to think about it like this with me. You've asked God the Holy Spirit to teach you, to show you, and to give you His message for you today. I love it when He does, every day. It's just like, and I think about it like this. The God of the universe took His time today to give me something. Well, that ought to make you Baptist-costal. I mean, when I first, as a young Christian, realizing there had to be more to this than what I was getting, and I decided that I was just going to ask God to show me, teach me, and I started writing it, you know, I was just reading my Bible, and I would read the verse, and it really pop out at me, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, for showing that to me. I've never seen that before. This is not an academic book. It's a supernatural book. You can't read it like an academic book. It's a supernatural book. And the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And we don't need to be neglecting Him. We need to be embracing Him. Now, we're not going to run around this auditorium like a freight train. Or run and roll down the aisles or anything like that. Not get on top of the chairs or chew on them or anything. The whole point here is, I'm going to allow the God of the universe to teach me. Show me what He has for me. Make it real to me. Help me to understand. Comfort me. So that my relationship with Him will be real. It'll be intimate. It'll be personal. It'll be passionate. And boy, I'll tell you what, if I have that relationship with Him, I'm going to want to share it with others. Now, notice it says, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, okay? In essence, respects. He that respects the commandment shall be rewarded. Now, look down at verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, catch me. Listen. Good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding of what? What I just said. Gives us favor with who? God. That He'll show us, He'll teach us, He'll help us, He'll encourage us. But if I choose to live my life based on walking in the flesh and a performance-based Christianity and a doer mentality Christianity, the way of transgressors is hard. Hey, the people that come to us for counseling, their life has gotten real hard. Their marriage has gotten real hard. When their kids are horrible to deal with, their life has gotten real hard. Y'all with me? Yes or no? Okay. Now, you got to understand that this is very important. Now, one last thing. I want to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now this is the first passage we go to when we're in our counseling program. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Now watch what the Bible says here. It says, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, it says this. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 6, What? Question mark. Know ye not? So that means they didn't know. That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And notice what else it says. And you're not your own. Now you may be here and say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He gave His body for you. He was buried. He rose again so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I'll guarantee you this, the Bible here says, you're not your own. He bought you out of the slave market of sin if you're saved. And He made a way for you. So for you to say, I'm going to live the way I want to live, I don't really give a rip about what God has to say about it. I'm telling you this. That's bad news. Because the way of transgressors is what? Hard. Now notice. And look at verse 20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. That's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the commandment is to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know what? Now listen to me carefully. We'll be done. Whenever a couple comes in for counseling and they're sitting there across from me and I've given them, you know, 15 to 20 minutes apiece to tell me what they think the problem is. And when they get done griping about their husband, griping about their wife, you know, telling me all the horrible things that are going on, blah, 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 blah. We read that passage of Scripture, Pastor. And I say, now let me ask you this. Will you read, okay, Linda, will you read verse 20 for me? And it says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So, Linda, is that your life? Now I want you to understand, you want to know what the will of God is? It's right here in this verse. To glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. So now I got to make it the purpose of my life to glorify God in my body and in my what? Spirit, which are God's. So I can't do that without having a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach me. Amen? Hey, woman. Y'all with me? You understand what I'm telling you? So we got to get up off the ground, quit living for ourselves, quit whining all over the countryside, and understand that we need to allow God to work in our life so that we can glorify Him. And that is His will. That's His will for your life. I have all kinds of people as a pastor say, I want to know what God's will is for my life. But they weren't in a position to know because they weren't submitted to the Holy Spirit. And God's will is to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. All right, let's pray.